Hi, everybody. This is Philip from otakunews.com, and today I have an interview with another of the UK's main labels for anime, and in the chair today is Jerome from Manga UK. Hi, Jerome.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. So we're going to get into a couple of questions from readers and things like that in just a second, but before we do, I just wanted to point out to people that I've spoken to Jerome before in the context of an interview, but the last time I spoke to Jerome was just shy of 6 years ago now. And when Jerome and I were talking last, Musicland in the United States had just imploded. The largest company in North America was ADV. Funimation was still that company that made Dragon Ball DVDs. And the big question that everyone had on their minds at the time was, how long is Crunchyroll going to survive if they only do pirated streams on their website? So a hell of a lot has changed since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, it surely has. And I 6 years ago, I've been at Manga for 7 years now, as of January. And when I started at Manga, I was really just a junior. I was the marketing executive, like junior marketing role. I was just really starting my career in film marketing and working at Manga and Anchor Bay, which is, Anchor Bay is our sister company, but essentially the umbrella, the home video label umbrella that Manga sits under. So we have an office in London, and we have a team of 13 people, and it's basically running two film and video labels. And Anchor Bay is the larger of the two. We had a really good year last year for Anchor Bay, and we released things like the Spartacus Blood and Sand and Spartacus Gods of the Arena series on DVD and Blu-ray after it had been on Brava and then Sky Atlantic. And we also re-released The Adventures of Tintin on DVD and Blu-ray to tie in with the big Spielberg movie, and again, that was really successful. So some of the fans for Manga, or anime fans, and our beloved customers for Manga DVDs and Blu-rays probably aren't aware that we are actually part of a larger independent video company that does a lot of other cool genre stuff other than anime.
So when you're saying that you have 13 people at the division, do you handle both yourselves and Anchor Bay, or is that just a separate?
No. We sort of split into I guess it's split into two teams. So you know, we have the way we work. We have a lot like any I guess like any supplier, you know, supplies products for retail. We've got a marketing team. We've got two people in marketing for Anchor Bay. We've got two people in marketing for Manga. That's me. I'm the head of marketing. And then I have Andrew Hewson, who's our marketing assistant. And he's essentially a product manager too, because he does a lot of the, you know, when you see the adverts in Neo and SFX and magazines and online ads for our releases, that's Andrew's organizing all of that. And then we have two people in our operations or / production team. So we, unlike Kazay or Madman, we don't offer and produce the discs and extras in-house. We outsource that to, basically, we're in Soho in London, which is the hub of the British film industry. So there's a lot of suppliers like Dubs and iFrame who we send the master tapes to, and they offer the DVD or Blu-ray. But that takes a lot of project management. I think our team, we have 2.5 people, really. We've got someone that comes in 3 days a week. But between them, they're project managing over, gosh, I think like 250 releases a year for Anchor Bay and Manga combined. So it's a lot of work. And then we have an accounting finance team. So we have one accountant looking after Manga and a junior, and another accountant looking after Anchor Bay. We've got our managing director for the whole group for the UK. And then we have a sales team as well. So, and they sort of, they go out to HMV and Amazon, and they sell on a quarterly basis all the newer Anchor Bay and Manga releases, and they organize the sale prices and campaigns and things that you see online and in HMV for us. So, you know, in comparison to companies like Studio Canal and Momentum and E1, which are other successful independent film and video distributors in the UK, we've got a very lean operation. So every success we have, we always, you know, always very, should be very proud, because, you know, we've managed to achieve quite a lot with very little.
Yeah, when I was speaking to you last, I was under the misapprehension that Manga UK and Manga US kind of were the same company. And while you are like owned by the same company, it's not the same in that when they release something that you guys are on DVD or Blu-ray, it's not necessarily a given that you guys will get it because of a licensing agreement.
No. A good case in point is First Squad, which Ankerbay managed to acquire from Canada and USA, but Sony picked up for the rest of the world. So Sony quietly released First Squad, I think, on the 9th of January. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another example is Castle of Cagliostro. Manga originally acquired it for all English-speaking territories and Europe years ago. And then what happens is licenses expire usually after 5 to 7 years, and then you renew them or someone else picks it up. So that happened here. Studio Ghibli are handling the rights for Castle of Cagliostro now. So obviously Studio Canal, who used to be Optimum, have a very good relationship, and they're essentially the official distributor for Studio Ghibli in the UK. So they got Castle of Cagliostro back for them. We lost it for the UK, but Manga US retained it. So there's those anomalies. Manga used to operate essentially as a global company with a global strategy, and then it was acquired by Ankerbay in, 2003. And after a couple of years, that focus slowly changed. The home video DVD market for manga in the UK was still very strong. Obviously, it started to, you know, it's really imploded or shrunk in the US. And so Ankerbay stopped acquiring anime. Because compared to the type of stuff Ankerbay would release, the live action films and things like that, anime is much more expensive to acquire for the US, and then you've got very high localization costs, and you have much more limited distribution. Just like I always say on Twitter, we have very limited distribution here, and where you can actually find the manga DVD. It's even worse in the US. I mean, like when I was in Los Angeles last summer, I go there once a year. There's a Best Buy, quite a large Best Buy that I go to in West Hollywood. And year on year, I've seen that the anime sections go from like being like a whole row down to 4 racks, down to 3 racks, down to 2 racks, down to half a rack, you know, over the last 4 years. And the other thing you might notice, fans that import Funimation Blu-rays or double plays, they never use Blu-ray size packaging. It's always in a Amaray DVD case size package with a blue ribbon on the top. Mm-hmm. That is because Best Buy have bugger all Blu-ray racking. And the racking they do have, very rarely would you get Funimation title in it. It would be more preserved for things like Paramount, Marvel films, Captain America, that type of thing. You know, the really big studio films that are going to sell a truckload.
Mm.
The situation for us is we've got HMV. They've got 250 stores around the country. When we do a release like Akira, it gets into every single store, goes on the Blu-ray and DVD chart. And that's fantastic distribution, you know, for us. And every now and again, like with Yu-Gi-Oh! Bonds Beyond Time last year, that went into Morrison's and Asda. And that's even better because 40% of all home videos and now new release home videos are sold in supermarkets. And as anyone listening knows, you cannot find an anime DVD for your life generally in a supermarket in Britain.
The only sure bets anymore would have been, I would have said years ago, would have been Pokemon films, because they were distributed by Warner Brothers, which would have better market saturation.
That's right. And we're releasing Tekken Blood Vengeance on DVD for Kazay on the 6th of February. And that is the film that was included in the Tekken Hybrid package. It came out in November on Blu-ray and PS3 from Namco Bandai. We're releasing the DVD of the movie. And that's actually, you will be able to buy that from the 6th of February for the first 2 weeks. It's on sale in Morrison's and Asda, as well as HMV, Amazon Play, and all the other online retailers. So I strongly urge any Tekken fans and fans that like things like Final Fantasy, Advent Children, and those really high-budget CG animated films to go to their local Morrison's or Asda to pick it up. And it'll probably be on shelf for like $8.99. So it's like, you know, I mean, you can't really argue with that.
No.
And obviously we'd love it if, you know, something like Tekken Blood Vengeance goes into those supermarkets, sells, you know, hits the target we've set for them for week one, because it means that it's a lot easier for us to have a dialogue with them, next time about getting something, you know, something else in there, you know.
Yeah, it'd be easier if something that you were retailing with them was a success, because if the title, I'm not going to say, you know, touch wood, it's going to fail, but if it does not sell to expectations, for your expectations or for, say, Asda's, then it's kind of, like you were saying, it's kind of going to be hard for you to go back to them with another title.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's fair enough. I mean, sometimes supermarkets and anime, it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Even with a Studio Ghibli film, it's very hard for the distributors of Ariati for every supermarket that's taking it to come back to them the week after and say, you know what, it hit our targets. It's very hard. So, you know, selling anime in supermarkets is actually fit a square peg in a round hole. And what we have to do is make the square peg, which is anime, rounder. Or make the supermarkets more square. There's got to be a meeting point. You know, so if we had the rights on something like Beyblade anime series or Bakugan, you know, these kids titles that have a lot of toys in the supermarkets, that again, and it's on MyTV and it's on Cartoon Network, that would make it a lot easier. And, you know, whenever fans ask us, what the UK needs is anime on TV, we need a station to pick up anime, it breaks my heart, because yes, we do. We'd have such a healthier business for the UK if we had TV. But, you know, unless it's tied in with a big toy brand and a lot of advertising and whatnot, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
there's no market for a free-view TV station to put animation on, you know, 11 to 14 or 14 to 18 year old males. It's just like,
because there's no money in it.
There's no money in it. There's not really many people who want to advertise to them on TV, and the audience is so fragmented because of the internet. What TV buyers in the UK always say is they're watching it online. We're not going to get enough of them. You know, it's like, you know, I think streaming television, video on demand online, Netflix type things, Crunchyroll, that's really the future. That's where the next wave or the next anime boom can potentially come from.
Yeah, that was a question that I had from a couple of our readers and listeners. They were asking questions like, well, you know, last year, the year before, kind of Crunchyroll really stepped up their game in terms of marketing anime to outside of their usual playground, which is the United States, Canada.
Yeah.
And also, like you were saying, Netflix launched last week or this week, and it already has a built-in library of manga.
It has some of our stuff on there, yep.
Yeah, so how has that changed for you guys in terms of how you acquire titles? Because, like you were saying, kind of Manga UK or US has kind of scaled back its acquisitions in the last couple of years. So you are more or less on the forefront. Whenever people think of manga, they usually go and think about you guys rather than Manga US. It's just a fact of the market. So how has that now affected you in your ability to actually market titles, release them, when you know that it's either already played on Crunchyroll or you have the digital rights to it and you can now potentially put it into something like Netflix?
We just have to treat it as a platform to promote the shows, build an audience, and a percentage of that audience will go out and buy the Blu-ray or DVD. You know, we have to see it as a positive thing. It's great we've got stuff on Netflix. All of our digital stuff for the UK is handled by Starz Digital, which is our parent company, and they operate out of the United States, and all the content, UK facing digital content, you can get legitimately, like on iTunes, Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, Netflix, Blinkbox. That's all those deals and distribution has been done by them. So with things like Netflix or video on demand, we generally have like a 60-day window. So we will, from us releasing on home video, you won't be able to get those shows on Netflix for 60 days. And that's to protect our core market. We, just like in Japan, just like France, just like anywhere else, for anime, we make the money. We recoup on the advances. We recoup on all the localization and production costs through the sale of physical product. Wonderful that there's all these legitimate and good value subscription services coming online for UK consumers. And I really hope fans start using them, especially once the content they want is on there. And I think it's early days yet for that. But our bread and butter is home video. And the revenues we make on digital is not enough to sustain a company the size of Manga, which, as I explained to you, is like essentially less than six people running this label.
Mm-hmm.
So time will tell. There's some difficulty also getting, when we license a new anime movie or TV series from Japan, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get it onto something like Netflix, to get their permission to do it. Or iTunes is a bit better, you know. And the other thing about iTunes is it's almost like another digital format. You've got DVD, Blu-ray and iTunes, and generally a show will go onto iTunes day and date. But there's so much more we need to do. There's a lot of opportunity for us. There's some risk. One of the reasons a lot of our new shows aren't on iTunes straight away is because of the quality of the assets we have. Because one thing we've done to try and cut down our production budget is we don't necessarily buy master tapes from Japan anymore and offer everything ourselves here. We share the cost with Madman. So Madman received the masters in Australia. They offer the discs, and then they just change the logos and trailers on their discs, send us a replication master, and we print our DVDs from that. So when you're not handling the actual HD masters, it can limit what you can give iTunes. iTunes have a very high spec for the files that they put on their shop. And if you can't meet those, they won't take it. And that's one of the reasons there's a limited catalogue at the moment. So we're currently trying to, you know, fine-tune our workflow so that, you know, we can either buy from Funimation or Madman or Sentai, buy their hire HD digital files, get those onto these platforms. What we found, you know, in the past is we were doing it all ourselves, but we, you know, the ad, you know, for, on our own website, we did Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and we were streaming that for free for like, what, 30 days or something each episode to promote the DVD. But, you know, we weren't even making enough money back on the ad revenue to cover the cost of, you know, ripping and encoding the episodes. So, because, you know, like, I mean, you know, anime fans are probably one of the most savvy groups of consumers out there in terms of accessing the content online, and they're a bloody impatient bunch. And, you know, I mean, we're probably getting 1% of the traffic some of these BitTorrent sites, mega video sites are getting for anime. Mm. You know, that's the sad truth. And then the other question is video on demand and electronic sell through like iTunes. There's generally only an English dub version available, so we need to address that as well. So some of the platforms don't want to carry two versions. And again, for us, we're having to duplicate our costs, you know?
Yeah. Is it easier now that Netflix is here because Netflix leases the ability to change audio tracks in midstream? You don't need to watch a separate stream. But is it easier for you from a digital materials perspective to give it to somebody like Netflix, whereas with iTunes, you're kind of limited?
That's a good question. I mean, like, I haven't used Netflix yet. I'm not even aware of that. And that's a question that the guys in our digital department would obviously be able to handle. But based on what you said, I would say, yes, it would be easier with someone like Netflix. If essentially, you know, it's inbuilt into what you're streaming to change the audio options and subtitle options. That's fantastic. I guess iTunes, you've got to have two
separate streams, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a question that came up in a lot of the forums when I was asking for questions, was, I've just checked out the Netflix queue, and it's great, but it's a lot of the dubbed material.
Yeah, that's what we haven't even put the dual language. So I'll ask our guys in New York about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a note. But, I mean, you know, that's why we love Twitter and Facebook as well. It is very helpful sometimes to us, with the feedback we get in terms of decision-making, fixing bugs, you know, getting a fresh perspective on things, which sometimes we take. Sometimes we listen to the customers when we agree with them, and other times we don't.
Yeah, we do listen,
absolutely.
Now, I have a question for the older titles that manga owns. You were saying there previously that there was a time when manga had a global strategy, so rights were acquired in bulk. So my question is, given as how the company, I won't say is fragmented now, but is now two separate platforms dealing with the same kind of product, were for the older titles that manga still owns rights to, say, from, say, 2003, 2004, which they're the rights, unless they're kind of specialized rights, are almost expired. Would you see a way of putting out older titles that manga have previously released on either VHS or DVD that you still have the rights for onto, say, a digital platform? Because, you know,
Bypassing the more expensive physical products and going digital. I think it depends. It depends if the people that own it want an advance from us to get those rights back. And if we say we just want digital, Do they discount the advance? Or does it make no difference to them and they're still going to want their $10,000 or whatever for a 20-year-old anime title? Because, you know, the truth is, we've re-released some old things, old titles, and they've just not performed. And when there's not much difference in the asking price for a 10, 15-year-old anime to a brand new anime like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood or Madoka Magica, then I'm going to go for the new show, because our audience is primarily concerned with the new. not the old. There's various tribes in our customer base, and obviously, you know, with Kira Blue Ray being the best selling title for manga last year, so it sort of shows there's probably a lot of disenfranchised anime fans out there, which comes back to the general content issue with Japan at the moment, in that there's a lot of people that like anime, but they're not otaku, you know?
Yeah.
But our bread and butter's become the otaku audience. People will buy something like Dancing the Vampire Bund, or someone that will buy something like Madoka Magica or Strike Witches or Sekirei, or do you know what I mean? Those things, you know, even though they might not sell a lot when we launch them, they go in our catalog, and you can pick them up in campaign and sales, you can pick them up on Amazon, and they just keep selling, you know, it just keeps us going, that type of stuff. I wish every anime release we had sold as much as Akira, and it's kind of depressing. You know, I published the top 10 best-selling anime movies on DVD and Blu-ray for last year, and when we collate the numbers for the Summer Wars Girl Who Left for Time double pack, Summer Wars was at the number 8 best-selling film last year, and that's the only brand new original IP for all of last year in that top 10. Evangelion 2.22 kind of counts, but again, it's a rehash of a 15-year-old TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And Akira Blu-ray, well, first time on Blu-ray, but it's a 22-year-old movie. And then everything else in that chart, you had Origin, Spirits of the Past, which is mainly, you know, like 13,000 catalog sales from last year. Same with Girl Who Left Through Time. I guess at least they're newish IPs. And then the rest was Studio Ghibli films. So the stuff that still sells, you know, over 10,000 units a year is catalog.
Not a brand new title.
Not a brand new title. The brand new titles are much further down the pecking order. And if you read Stuart Green from Mainical News Anime blog, if you read his article on Redline, he started off writing a review for Redline. It's become a big, sort of a much larger state of the anime biz in Japan article. It's fascinating. And he's included in there Japanese anime box office figures for various titles. And again, you'll see that, you know, Studio Ghibli, Ariadne, that breaks the 1 billion yen mark. But other things you'd expect that would do much, much better haven't. And big studio gambles like Welcome to the Space Show, which we're going to release in July, by the way, and Redline, which was expensive productions, very time-consuming, big labor of love for the people involved, and both, you know, trying to do something new with an original idea rather than basing it on a manga or a best-selling book or whatever. Neither of those have ignited the box office the way we would
have hoped for. Yeah. Now, that's a question I wanted to ask, because the Blu-ray of Redline has only just come out in the U.S. Is it Anchor Bay who are handling it, or is it Manga UK?
Yeah, well, Anchor Bay acquired the license, but because it's, I mean, you know, you can't get more anime than Redline.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously for marketing purposes and stuff, we put it out on the Manga in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And in the US, it's got the Manga badge on it as well.
I was going to ask, it's only just come out in the US, so the first couple of reviews have started to trickle down from its Blu-ray release, but how has Redline been for you guys? Because the UK customer base has had it for, was it late November, early December? So have you started to see numbers back from that yet?
Yeah. I mean, again, like the producers and the distributor in Japan, I was surprised by the sales, I think. I mean, would have liked it to have done better than it did. You know, it's very frustrating, you know, to be honest with you. I take all this stuff personally and then go on Twitter and have a big rant. But, you know, something as good as Redline to not sell as well as Summer Wars or Evangelion 2.22 just really pisses me off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it kind of... for anyone who's ever read Jerome's Twitter, you kind of... I don't care, like, what slice of the community you come from. You kind of do feel sorry for Jerome because... You know, we read his tweets, and then he posts numbers for how a particular title did, and you're bashing your head against the keyboard, going, "Why is it not selling? What is going wrong here?" There's a disconnect.
We're the distributor, we market it. I mean, I can't really be mad at anyone other than ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Because we say, you know, we are sort of limited. I mean, I'm sure if I spent £1 million marketing Redline in the UK and you know, pretty much pissed £250,000 at all doing a 200 screen theatrical TV ads and billboards everywhere and stuff, it would definitely sell more. But would I ever make that money back?
No.
Maybe not, you know.
No. There are There are bigger operations in the UK that have petered away more.
No, all I can say now is if you really love anime, you particularly love like Ninja Scroll and Akira and you want to see a new anime film because you haven't seen anything new for a few years and you're wondering where the next Akira is or things like that, then please see Redline because it won't disappoint you. I think, again, for the younger fans we have, our core customers, again, you probably haven't seen anything like that either. If you brought up on Naruto and Bleach, and strongly recommend that you see it. And I really hope you like it because it's a really wonderful film and a real labor of love from the guys that made it. It's 7 years. It's all hand drawn. It's quite different to a lot of other anime. The look of it, you know, they've taken a lot of risks.
It's kind of one of those films where everyone involved wants it to do well. For some odd reason, it's not doing as well. But nevertheless, we keep plugging away at it anyway. I mean, I think Tim Mon on Twitter is single-handedly holding all of Redline up. He has been since he was the first person who speaks native English to have seen Redline way back last year. And he kept going on and on and on about this amazing film.
Yeah, that
film.
Was wonderful. It was wonderful to see his review go up on Anime News Network, and it was so positive. And the guys in Japan that made it, and the studio that Madhouse, all the guys at Madhouse, so chuffed with. It really means a lot to them, especially to the creative team behind it. It means a lot to them to read such wonderful reviews from people like Harry Knowles at Ain't It Cool. And that's my point. It's made a connection with people that love the form of anime but have been alienated from the medium for the last couple of years because it's just become so fan servicey and so niche. And, you know, I always say on Twitter, oh, God, here's another one about, you know, girl with brain cancer standing under a sakura blossom. Brilliant. You know what I mean? But there's so much of that, and there's so little stuff like Redline, or I sometimes call it white fan man anime, because I get so many 40-something guys that are like, oh, manga, love it. Akira goes in the shell, Ninja Scroll. And I'm like, have you seen
what's coming out?
No.
No. But here's that's the thing between our fans, when I say our fans, because, you know, it's if you can hug them, but our fans and Japanese fans. So when the Japanese love something, it's intrinsically, and I'm trying not to make this a kind of an overgeneralization, but it's intrinsically something that we here in the West could not get our minds around. And when Japan makes something that we can wrap our minds around, like Redline, at home it doesn't sell very well. And because our fan base here has been kind of, I won't say raised on a diet of terrible titles, because there are